All right, some of you've already noticed and sat down, but we're going to open up the question and answer panel at this time. So go ahead and grab your seats while I have a little snack.
Can you guys just go and say your name and how long you've been married, please?
Hi, we are Matt and April Bellingham, and we have been married for going on 21 years this May.
We are Samuel and Romana Skrabeck, and we have been married 5 years, going to be 6 years in August.
Gary and Cindy J, married 43 years, 44, May 22nd.
All right, so like I said last night, we're going to do this a little differently than we have in the past. We have some questions that Allie and I have prayed about, and that we want to ask these guys, newlyweds, kind of, but you know, younger, medium, and older. And actually, I'd like to just pray really quick. Sorry, old. I don't know. Older-ish. Okay. So let's pray, and then we'll get right into it here. Father, thank you again for this time. Thank you again for this place. Thank you for the word. For your word that you've already spoken to us, Lord, and just for the privilege of sitting under the authority of your word and the life that it brings to us and the life that you have given us in Jesus Christ. And so I pray that you would just continue to build us up in the remaining time that we have. In your name we pray, amen. Okay, so have a few questions here, and I'm going to kind of just go for the jugular with the first one. And I know. So when Allie and I, it was probably about, I don't know, 5-6 years into our marriage, we really struggled. We just encountered some struggles in our sex life and really had to work through some things in that area. And so the first question I have will be sex related. Because this is a marriage retreat, and this is kind of like our time to talk about this stuff. This is a safe place to do that. Not that we can't or shouldn't talk about sex in church when it comes up in the Word. But so the first question I have is, like I said, we have had to work through some things, some barriers to having sex in our marriage. And so my question for you guys is, what are some common barriers that you have found in your marriage to having sex?
This is something that the Lord's really been working in. Yeah.
Says the one who's pregnant.
So I want to say the barriers is we have younger kids and being pregnant. But what the Lord's been really revealing is our sex life is not like a destination. It's a ride. And just constantly having to find ways to please each other in the different hard seasons. But somebody said last year in the marriage retreat is bring Jesus into the bedroom. And that's something that I've really been trying to do, especially being pregnant and being hard with being self-conscious. But there's times where I really have to, you know, in the moments where you're like, yeah, tonight's probably going to end up being the night that we're going to be intimate. And I have to remove myself and spend that intentional time with the Lord and just ask, like, Lord, I really need you because I don't want to do this with my husband right now. I'm exhausted. I can't see my toes. And I ask him for that hunger for him. And even in just praying, he doesn't just like, yeah, I'm gonna do it with my husband. I mean, even just in the prayer, he softens my heart. And so that's something that's really been, yeah.
Yeah, for us, we're through the younger kid age. Now we're into the older kid age where our kids they stay up later than us most nights. And we have a very tiny house. And so with us, we have to be very open with our kids. Like, hey, I got to confess a sin. Actually, I stole one of our do not disturb signs that they have here and put a metal thing on the outside of our door. And I actually, we use that from time to time on the outside of our door. But like, we are very open with our kids. Like, hey, you guys are going to bed early tonight because we need some mommy and daddy time. Do not come downstairs. Like, straight up, do not come downstairs. We've invested in a large fan for our bedroom to make background noise so we can't hear what's going on outside to that's going to affect inside. So we have been very intentional with our kids and with each other about our older kids, yes. I mean, well, 12 and up, yeah. Right? And so we've been very intentional and honest with our kids about our needs for each other and intimacy and how it affects our marriage and just letting them know, hey, turn the TV up, turn the fan on. We've got a fan on our stove. I crank that thing wide open. And just so there's no reason why we can't be involved with each other and not worrying about other things in the house. Because if we're worried about other things in the house, we're not focused on pleasing each other. We can't be really actually emotionally engaged in each other. So just being really open and honest with our kids.
I was going to say, I always wondered why every time we come over to your house, like all the fans are running and all the TVs are on and everything. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, and I mean, I think like some of it too is overcommitment. Like now that our kids are older and like our wagon isn't as circled as it used to be. We're not home as much as we used to be in the younger years. And one kid's here and one kid's there and I got to pick up this kid. And sometimes it does. I mean, it's still probably kid related is like the overcommitment of stuff. And he's really good about like, I need to be with you tonight. Yeah,
like tonight.
And as a mom that's going, I love it. You know, from a 7-year-old to a 16-year-old, like I'm not always thinking about that. But yeah, I mean, the kids, it's usually the kids that hinders our sex life. It looks different now. We know Monday night when our kids come home from youth group that we will probably up till 11 o'clock talking with them. And how great is that, that our kids are putting us to bed and we're having great in-depth personal conversations with them. It looks different now.
Yeah. Seasons of life. It's just a season of life. It will pass and you'll get to have more later on. So for us, sexual abuse was in my past from a pastor's son. So it was very, and you can go either way, you know, where you want this way, or it's like, no, I'm frigid. So it can happen either way. And if you're in that season, please talk to somebody. Don't let it stifle your marriage. We were talking this morning. I said, I feel our past, especially early on in our marriage. Now, you know, we're balanced, I guess you would say, more balanced. But back then it was like, it was so fleshy. I mean, I know God created sex and marriage. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. But it was bad over here in some places. For me, I'm speaking for myself, being sexually abused. So that is a real thing. And you probably cannot get help with your husband, sorry, or your wife, whichever, because it can be a man that was sexually abused as well. And so please be bold and talk to somebody until you find that person that can talk you through it, pray you through it, whatever, get counsel, because it can really mess up your relationship in a bad way. So
I'll say this about being the old people. It's more about quality than quantity.
Yes.
So anyway,
amen.
Yeah. So that's just what happens. That I think, believe it or not, you enjoy each other.
Yeah.
In a greater.
You can just talk about it. And
in
get
a
thrill.
Greater.
You can. It's so because you're so exhausted or whatever. It's fun.
I think one thing. I know we'll move on to the next question here probably, but one thing that when I was younger, Gary kind of nailed it. There was it was quantity over quality. And I was very addicted to porn at a pretty young age. And so that was a huge hindrance in our actual intimacy, because as we all know, like, porn is, it's not even real, right? You get this false sense of what sex is and what women are for. And so it was more about just feeding my flesh and just getting as many reps in as possible, right? And so as we have matured, that has changed drastically into more quality than quantity. But quantity is still important. Well, and I say that because the state of our sex life also reflects the state of our closeness and oneness. Because when we don't have sex for a couple weeks and I'm like, tonight's the night, we need to do this tonight, it's because, like, I don't even know her. I feel like I don't even know her, right? And so, anyway.
So I actually do have one follow-up question to that that's not on my list, but you mentioned sexual abuse, how that had been and can be a barrier to being intimate with your spouse. And like kids, like what you said, like just being tired and overwhelmed, like those are very real barriers that I think we can all relate to and go, okay, I need to make more time. I just need to make intentional time to have sex with my spouse. I need to, you know, do what it takes to make time for that. But talking about like sexual abuse, maybe something like perhaps self-image, especially for some of the ladies, and just other things that are real, like genuine barriers where you're like, I've made the time. I know that I need to do this with my spouse, but there's just this barrier where I just can't bring myself to be intimate. Like, could maybe speak to that a little bit?
For sure. Remember the garden. Satan stole something that day. We allowed him to steal something from us. God made intimacy so perfect and holy and beautiful. So if there is abuse in your marriage, one of the other spouses, it can be the male. We've counseled men. My husband's counseled men with the same thing. So it has to be intentional to get help. Don't think that, okay, we can pray this through. I mean, I'm not putting God in a box. He could do that, but it's very, 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 very rare that that would happen, probably, because you need to talk it out with somebody that, especially with someone that is not involved in that intimacy, so they can ask the questions or see where you're off track on what you're thinking, you know. For us, it was like Matt said, sex, 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 you know, but it was just an act. I mean, it wasn't this purity, this beautiful union that God wanted. And not to say that you can't have fun. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it was frivolous compared to holy and beautiful. So please, I implore you to talk to somebody. Let me just ask real quick, how many in the room has been sexually abused? Men and women. There's men, women. See, men. It's out there. So keep searching until you find that Christian person that can help you and get counsel, etc. I'm sure your pastor and wife is very good at it too. So, or maybe not, but they may have to learn. They know the word. You know what? It's a trickery. It's a deceit that Satan thinks. He tries to make you think that this is all you. And in my abuse, I thought it was me that caused that guy to do that until I got counsel. And I was like, oh, that wasn't me. I wasn't a, forgive the slang, slut at 7 years old. I wasn't that. But I thought that. I thought I caused that. So it's very important to talk it out and with a friend or with somebody for biblical counseling, not just psychological. It's got to be biblical because the word changes us. The word changes us. So.
Yeah, I guess just to, what I'm hearing you guys say is, in fact, with all of the barriers discussed, is like communicate. Like, you have to communicate with your spouse, hey, I really want to be with you tonight. Or, hey, can we be together this week? We need to make time or whatever. Or maybe it's, hey, can we, you know, just need, sometimes it's awkward to even talk about it. You know, it's just like, what do I say? I don't know. It's like, we just have to communicate. And especially if there is a barrier, such as some other type of barrier where you're just like, can't bring yourself to it. Maybe you need to talk to your spouse about it and just say, here's where I'm at. This is just real. And then that might lead to further communication, i.e. counseling, whatever it might be. God, can I just say that God has, if you're in that place today, we're just in a hard place of a dry season, let's say, God has hope for you. God has a much better place for you to have in that area of intimacy in your marriage. And so there's hope. So just take courage. Okay. All right. Allie's got the next question.
So we were talking about, we were talking about common topics that come up in marriages that we deal with. So sex is the first one we just covered. The next one that we decided was common was our in-laws. And, yeah. So the question is this, how do you maintain oneness with your spouse when there is drama, we'll call it, with your in-laws? I'll just give you some time to think a little bit as I share with us personally. You know, the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, I would say, is usually the most common relationship that's difficult. And I have a great mother-in-law, but it is hard because she's very different than me. And I married her son. And there's expectations and different things like that. And so when there have been issues that I didn't like about his family, for example, and the way they handled something maybe, or I would go to him about it, and he then would have to figure out how to respect me, but also honor his mother and father. And so that's been a challenge in our marriage for sure, that we've worked through, and vice versa with my parents and him, you know, because they're not his parents, but mine. So what do you guys got?
Nothing. Everything's fine.
Well, I would.
For me, I think not really a dislike of in-laws, but there's, in our marriage at least, cultural differences. Ramona and her family, just very family oriented, very close, lots of family coming from all over the place, always getting together. And it can be a lot. It can be weekends at a time. And it's like, and Ramona has been awesome in this, like where we just had to come to a point where we know our church family, well, one, is more important than even unbelieving direct family, or at least they're not in Christ yet necessarily. But just taking time to separate yourself from some of that, even though it's good with her family, but just as our family needs to grow in Christ, we need to take that intentionally, being with each other, being with our brothers and sisters in Christ, so that they can encourage us and not us kind of just placing ourselves because it's culturally right or normal. We need to be there for them because that's just the way it is. It's not just the way it is. There's the way it has changed when we were in Christ and married and one with Christ. But so yeah, just being intentional about stepping away if needed, seeking the Lord and his truth and what his word says. And yeah, I guess.
Cindy and I both had parents that were Christians, and so that was a huge thing for them. They all loved the Lord, and they loved us. If there was any conflict, we always, and I think this is a great rule, that if there was something with her parents, there was a conflict that were happening in our marriage, that she dealt directly to her parents, and if it was something my parents were doing, that I directed towards my parents. I think what Allie and Eric practice as well, that's exactly what I would do. And so you just can't let them ruin your marriage or be a distraction or get between you and your spouse. You got to guard that. And sometimes that happens. But you remember, you go back to the scripture, it says to leave the father and mother and cleave to each other. And so you have to predetermine how you're going to deal with that. And there will be times that will come up. But so that's what I would say.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start. So this is a topic in our marriage that, honestly, we have been on the verge of divorce definitely once. Definitely once. I didn't know if we were going to be able to get through it. And it was directly related to my parents. I love my mother and father very much. I mean them no disrespect, but they had a very, very difficult time, especially my mom, separating herself from her little boy and coming to the realization that I am not hers, I am my wife's. And that our kids are not her kids. They are our kids. And they did not respect our rules with our kids, our wishes, our desires. Yeah, we do. I'm not going to get into the whole thing. We had to come to a point where we were like, are we going to stay married or are we going to get divorced? Because this is just ain't going to work. And so I had to go to my parents a couple times and have, like, with the word of God, very respectfully, like, this is what the Bible says. I don't know how I'm supposed to honor you in this, but I'm trying. And basically what it came down to was this has to be first. And the only way that this can be first right now is to separate from you. And that was like the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, right? It was telling my mom and dad I can have no part in them because this was going to fall apart. And this is the most important relationship on this earth apart from your relationship with Christ. If this ain't right, nothing else is going to be right. And so if this isn't right, nothing else is going to be right. But if this isn't right, nothing else is going to be right either. And so it has been a huge point of contention in our marriage for a lot of years. And my wife hates it when I say this, but my mom and my wife are very, very similar in a lot of ways. But when you've got two magnets that point north, what do? Right? They blow up. Mercury and water, right? When that mercury separates. Mercury? No, it's not mercury. Anyway, whatever that stuff is. Calcium? Calcium, right? Sodium, calcium. Anyway. Yeah, it's sodium, calcium. Yeah. Anyways, when you put it in water, it separates. It comes back together. Boom! That is my mom and my wife. And so it is... We love them from afar. I love my parents. I know my wife loves my parents, but we love them from afar, even though they live 15 minutes away from us. And we have had to separate them from our kids when they were young because there was just a lot of deceit and lying that my parents would try to get our kids to do to us. Like, just, they teach them to lie to us about things. It's like, that can't be allowed. Can't be. And so it's been hard. Like, that has been super hard. But because of that, we've seen a lot of fruit in our marriage.
But they've also came back.
And they have came back to the Lord, but they've came back to the Lord. And I do feel like they've repented, but that those scars are still there. And it's very difficult to come back from some of the things that have happened between my mom and April, especially. But praise the Lord, we are able to get together. It's a slow healing process.
I don't go to everything.
I do go to the holidays, the important things, like Super Bowl tomorrow. I will not go. I don't find the value or need in that. And the kids are free to go with him, yeah, or make the decision whether they go or not. But I choose not to. I protect my peace in that area of, I just have better things to do with my time.
So April, I have a question for you. How did it make you feel when Matt went to his family and said that they needed to separate and that he was putting his family, you guys, your immediate family first before them?
I made me love him more, like that he was willing to like forsake all others. And I definitely think that made our marriage stronger. And when we do get into it on occasion, he's very quick to remind me, I am not the enemy. Yeah. This is a spiritual attack. And, it's definitely made our, every woman wants to be stood up for. Mm-hmm. And when your husband stands up to somebody that's raised him, like, makes me love him more.
I will say something on that note. Like, if you are going through something like that, get counseling. Like, go to a brother or sister, if you're a woman, that you love and trust, that's going to speak truth into your life, not just stroke your ego and make you feel good, and get counseling. I have sat in Eric's office when he had his own business, and I have sat in Stephen's living room and front yard, and they have listened to me blubber like a baby and tell them that I don't want to go home. And they have spoken truth into my life, hard truth that I didn't want to hear sometimes. And I remember sitting in Eric's office. He's like, look, do you love your wife or not? You made a covenant to your wife. Like, did you mean that or not? You have been called to separate from your mother and father and cleave to your spouse. Like, it's pretty clear. And so I just encourage you to get counsel. You don't have to go to a professional counselor per se. Maybe you do, if they're Christian, God-fearing, you know. But, man, just a good, strong brother or sister in the Lord can do so much for you.
So it's not just parents. In our marriage, I have two brothers, and they both came to live with us at two different times. And we loved on them during that season. But one brother in particular, until he died, he was with us. But my husband had to remind me, or he told me, he said, I feel like that you're treating him like your husband. And that was a real, like, because he had strokes, things like this. So I was caring for him a lot. But my brother expected me to be like his wife. Not in a weird way. You know what I mean? Just things of helping. And I have that caring, that kind of spirit. I love to help people. So, you know, but he had to remind me, that's not your husband. And so that was a real season. So sometimes it can be somebody you're caregiving for or something like that too. So you have to remember they're not your spouse. They don't get precedence over everything else.
Next question. All righty. Money, finances. It's our next topic. When you get married, you know, you were told it's not my money, your money, it's our money. How do you, as a married couple, communicate and agree about how to manage and spend your money? And also, what are some barriers or challenges that you have overcome in that area?
We want to know all of the nitty-gritty details.
Well, earlier in our marriage, my wife worked at a bank, and so she was pretty good at finances, and so...
I didn't steal.
So she...
that sounded like, oh.
Yeah. So yeah, bring home her homework. But anyway, that's worked out for it. That's the way we have done things.
We had all kinds of money all the time, I don't know why.
Throughout the years, it's been just where she takes care of the bills.
One or the other is good at it.
Uh-huh.
And don't, it's okay if it's the woman or the man, mm-hmm. whichever one is the better of remembering mm-hmm. to pay a bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a bad habit of not paying stuff, not because I don't want to, I just, it yeah. just, it's not, I guess not real important to me. I just, so it just slips my mind. And but she's really good about all that, and it's and she's taking care. And so I've kind of relaxed with all that, and she mm-hmm. trust her with all that. So yeah. that has worked for us. And on the big picture, you know, we do talk about, you know, our finances mm-hmm. and where we're going and all that. But anyway, that's worked for us.
It's very important to ASAP, just even at the get-go, that the married couple, the young married couple that's 5 days old, start now. Do not go into debt if you can help it. Mm-hmm. That is God's plan. Pray about things. And he will supply amazing ways. Like, it's crazy, the stories that he will put in your life to provide what you need. So trust him in that. We were not good in the beginning that way. We were in debt. But it's wonderful because you get to give to the Lord. You get to give to the Lord's work, other things that are so important. Families in the church, you see a need, you can secretly give money. I mean, it's amazing. So, yeah. Yes.
I just got a question. Is there a biblical man or woman should be responsible for
the bill? No. The husband, I think it's, like he said, communication. We definitely need to communicate about, like, sometimes one is more generous than the other, and you can, you know, one might say, well, I think the Lord, and then another one might say, well, I think it should be. And most of the time it's, we agree. Oh yeah, let's do that. Yeah. So talking through it, make sure you're, yeah, because we had we had a couple in our church one time, and it was so sad because obviously they didn't communicate, and she had her own P.O. box, and she spent all of his retirement she would take out, and all of a sudden they're divorcing because he found out that she had spent everything and gotten in debt and stuff. So it's very important to communicate and have your account together. Do not, I'm serious, two separate accounts is, you know, you can have fun money. I'm not saying don't get your own, like a woman, if her husband sometimes, you know, my dad was this way, old school, very old school, and here's your allotment for the week or whatever, which is fine. It wasn't anything bad. My mom was treated very generously. But even in that, you can take your money and maybe open an account for yourself. But as far as the whole, you do that together. That should be something you talk about together, and you make the budget together, because... and again, it can be a man or the woman, whichever one is better at it. It's okay. God has gifted us all differently. So embrace that. Otherwise, it's failure. You fail if you don't plan.
Yeah, I appreciate everything that Gary and Cindy said. You know, it's super important that you don't have your money, right? I don't have my money. She hasn't had a job for 17 years. Until recently, she's been starting to clean houses for her sister a little bit and making some money. It's funny how all of a sudden she's got her money. And then it's super weird. But so I've
bought anything for myself. Like,
nope, I'm not done. So we've got our money. I don't have my money. I make the money. She pays the bills. She keeps our household rolling. And James, I don't have the scriptures in my head right now, but the man is supposed to be the priest, prophet, protector, and provider for his family. And so there are extenuating circumstances in that. Sometimes the man can't work or can't work enough. These days and age, like, maybe you can't be the sole provider. There's nothing wrong with that. But scripturally, we see the husband being priest, prophet, protector, and provider for the family. But with that, like, we don't have my money. We have our money. I make it. She spends it. She tells me I can't spend it. Because we have none, right? It's gone because we got five kids. But a big part of that is communication. Like, we don't spend money without communicating. There is usually, like, we have like a kind of a limit. It's like $50 to $100 as long as you're not doing it all the time, you're free to buy something if you want. Like, I'm not going to lock it down, like, you can't spend a dime without me knowing, you know, and vice versa. But like the other day, I found a really cool anvil on Facebook Marketplace that I really wanted really bad. It was something super cool. It was an awesome piece of history. It was a great deal. And I went to April. I was like, hey, there's this anvil for sale. I really want it. And she's like, no. And I'm like, I love you. I'm buying it. I'll be back in 5 minutes. And so there is a little bit of that that happens, and that's vice versa. But it's still communicated, right? It's even though it's, I'm so sorry, I'm not going to agree with you on this, I'm going to go buy it anyway. Maybe my heart was wrong in that, but the point is, like, I didn't go do it behind her back, right? Like, I still let her know, like, hey, I'm going to go buy this. And
if I would have said no, we don't have the money.
Yeah, and with that, I had sold a bunch of stuff in my shop.
You don't have to.
No, I'm justifying it. I had sold a bunch of stuff that I had laying around, so it's not like it was money that was coming out of our primary income for our family budget, right? It was fun money, and she can talk all she wants about fun money, free money if she would like. Yes. So.
Yeah, I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, we both have a common goal and vision for our family, and one is to be debt-free.
Yes.
And we have a desire to build a barn for our children. And so that's why I picked up a couple shifts to facilitate that extra cash.
Be that Proverbs 31.
Yeah, to be that Proverbs. But yeah, so like, it's like my money. I joke with him and like, but he has no idea how much I have saved up only because I told him.
He comes out with this wad of cash.
But
what you getting at?
But we have a goal as a family, like we want to build this barn. We don't want to go into debt. And so I'm like, I can get out of the house for 4 hours once or twice a week. Mm-hmm. And it's been good for my daughters to step up in that way as well. But I could quit tomorrow and we would be fine at the same time. But he has no idea where we are financially. He really doesn't. He actually found the bank that we bank at yesterday.
No. Come on.
I joke, but that's how, like, he doesn't know the password to our bank, like, and like, just because I handle that stuff, he could probably figure it out. But he goes, I saw the checking account. We're doing really well, and
you're
doing really well. And like, as a wife, like, I don't want to do him harm, and. Like, I don't want to screw him over and spend all of his money on just crap. And so it's having a common goal. Like, what is your goal as a couple? Like,
communication.
What do you want to see out of life, like, with your family? Is it a vacation that you want to take? Is it a barn that you want to build? Is it to pay off your house? Like, what is that goal as a family? And, like, your finances, like, your spending and who's paying bills kind of, I think, just follow after that.
Yeah, I think, I think I'm just up here so I can hear their advice a little more clearly. But, I mean, and especially being a young couple and kids and just trying to start your living, how important it is to bring all of it to God, bring your money to God, lay it before his feet and say, what do you want us to do with this? Where do you want it to go? Yes, we need to pay our bills, get all that taken care of, but being self-controlled in bringing the rest to him. I mean, yes, we have the fun money. We can do the things that are fun for us, but just being diligent in that, just saying, Lord, where do you want this to go? And being in communication with that, with our spouse, what's going to the kids? What are we going to do for the kids to, you know, have a good time as they're growing up too? We don't want to just be like, you know, and our money's ours and you guys are just going to grow up with the food that we put on the table. But yeah, just bringing that to the Lord and being faithful that he's going to take care of us, even though, I mean, as you're a young couple and you're just trying to make it until maybe at some point you got some extra around, but yeah, maybe not. But yeah, just being faithful, knowing the Lord is faithful and that he provides for us, but starting with Lord, what do you want me to do with this? And yeah.
Well, I think just seeing his heart for that, it was really easy for me to trust him. But it was really hard for me at first because I worked a lot and then came down to a point where I had to stay home and I didn't make any money. But communication was a big thing, and just really trusting him and talking about the big things that maybe I want to buy. And if it's a no, then I'm going to trust him that it's a smart thing and not just him saying no, because no. And he is really good at not keeping money from me because I don't have it. I mean, we have a joint bank account, but just honestly, just seeing his heart for the Lord and that, yeah, it was just really easy for me to like submit to him. And if it's a no, it's a no. And I just go along for the ride. I'm really blessed that he deals with all the money, because I don't think I'd be able to do it. But yeah.
We'll just touch base on tithing really quick. So we haven't always seen eye to eye on tithing. I'm the tither. Like, I'm like,
so hold on. I'm going to interrupt you, and then I'm going to let you take it back over. Okay. I just wanted to share a couple verses here. I love what you said about trust and communication. All of you guys talked about communication, like just talk about spending, but trusting, Sam, I think that's great. But in Malachi chapter 3, it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Let that sink in. First fruits of all your produce. Then, if you do that, if you do verse 9, verse 10, then your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will be bursting with wine. And so we all have the same problem with money, right? There's never enough. We always are wondering what to spend our money on. I want to spend my money on this. We don't, you know, but the promise of the Bible says that if we honor him first, not with what's left over, because there's never anything left over. Amen. If we honor him first, that we're going to have what we need. Our barns will be full, our vats will be bursting. And so with the follow-up question, which I think you're going to answer it anyways, is, so let's just suppose that the husband or wife doesn't see eye to eye on this biblical principle, you know, where, yeah, I want to give generously, you know, and then the other person's kind of like, geez, I don't know, that's kind of a big check. Are you sure about this? You know, have you seen our bills? And or suppose maybe one person spends a lot of money, and then you see the bank account and go, what did you buy? No, actually, yeah. Money, I will say, money's not really been a big issue in our marriage. It just hasn't. I mean, the Lord has spared us from that. We've had other issues, in-laws and sex, but money has not been one of them. But I know that's not true of all of us. And so I'm going to turn it back over to Matt, just with some of these things in mind.
Yeah, so tithing for me, like, it's not boasting in myself, like, but the Lord has just blessed me with just faith in that area. Like, if we just give to God, he's going to take care of us. Like, it's in his word. He's promised us. He's even challenged us to test him in it. It's the only test he's letting us do, right? And so I'm like, no, this is what I make a year. 10% of that gross is this. Let's give that to him. And she's like, hold up. Like, that's a lot of money. I can't do that cheerfully, you know? And so we're supposed to give to the Lord cheerfully, right? And it's her money too. And so she's like, well, I feel more comfortable with what your take-home paycheck is than the gross. And I'm like, well, the Bible says gross. Like, well, it says the first fruits. Like, that's before taxes, before everything. And she's just like, I can't give that cheerfully. I just can't. And so it's like, okay, well, if I'm not allowing this and you're not going to be cheerful here, like, let's look and see where we're going to be cheerful, and then make that up in other ways, right, in giving. And so we've met in a middle ground on that, where she can give cheerfully and I can still be like feeling like I'm giving to the Lord graciously and in faith. And so I still don't think she's right, but it's her money too, right? It's not just my decision, even though I am the spiritual leader in the home. And then in that, I have let my wife years ago talk me out of tithing. Like, Matt, I see no other way. Like, we can't tithe this month and pay our bills. And I'm just like, okay, we're not going to tithe, and we're just going to pay our bills, I guess. And then we get a flipping phone call from the hospital the next week telling us to fill out this paperwork and forgiving like $6,000 to $8,000 worth of medical debt from our babies, right? That's happened twice that I've let this woman that he gave me talk me out of having faith in the Lord. And it's not, you know, guys know how I feel towards my wife. I love my wife, but we just get weak, right? And we lack faith. We all lack faith. And so we try to do it in our own self. And then the Lord just proves himself strong. He's like, do you not trust me? Do you not trust me that I'm going to take care of you? So it's got to be cheerfully. You got to give cheerfully and what you can both agree on. So,
and like to follow up that, like, our kids have asked us about that as well. And like, while I regret those times of like looking at the numbers and be like, it's not penciling out, like there's no way. But to have those stories to be able to tell our kids is like, I would say no again, just to see the Lord work. If you know what I mean, like just to be able to see the Lord work and have those stories for our kids of like, remember that time, like God like wiped out $10,000 in medical debt, like with, you know, just one phone call, like how amazing that we had that story for us, for our kids, and for other people.
So I was just thinking about oneness, as we've been talking about this weekend, or listening about this weekend, and how these topics, sex, finances, what was the other one? In-laws. Those are areas where we're either having oneness as a couple in this situation, or it's drawing us apart. In-laws are drawing us apart. Money is drawing us apart. You know, sex is drawing us apart. Or it's an opportunity to draw us together. And one way that Erickson, well, lots of ways, but one way I want to share about what we've been talking about with finances, that he's done a really good job showing oneness, or I don't know, keeping us close with money, is when, you know, I worked in the beginning and then we had Everett, and, you know, we decided we were going to stay, I was going to stay home and do one income and all that. And then it was like, okay, your money, our money. Sure, we're hearing a lot of those words going around, but how is it our money? Like, I'm buying the groceries, I'm paying the bills, I'm deciding, you know, trying to decide like what is justified to spend our extra money on or whatever. And it was really overwhelming to me, and it felt like a huge burden for me to have to decide, can I buy makeup this month, or can I, like, should I buy you a new pair of jeans, or should you just keep wearing the ones you have? Like, it was really hard, and I wanted to be a good steward of our money, but I felt like I was making all those decisions on my own. And so we had to communicate about that, and he had to teach me that just like our God wants to give us good things, Eric was really good about giving me good things, because it was just such a holdup for me with money and trying to figure out how to spend it wisely. And so I just like didn't spend it, or I'd go without because I felt guilty if I bought, you know, nicer shampoo versus like the cheap shampoo or something, things that like typically the wife cares more about, right? And so he actually got a piece of advice from, I think, a marriage retreat, and I don't remember which pastor. The husband said, you know, hey, you know, spend money on your wife, take her shopping, give her some money, which I thought that sounded so tacky, give her some money, like, oh, give me my allowance, you know, like you were talking about too. But it was very freeing, because then it was like him and I communicating, and him to telling me like, go ahead, buy the whatever, you know, pair of shoes, whatever you're into, you know, that maybe it was extra or whatever. Or, and sometimes he would bring home a magazine, you know, not a big purchase, but just was a little bit, and it was nice because maybe it was something I always kind of wanted to buy but didn't want to spend the money on, and then he would do it for me, or he, and then sometimes it was more extravagant and he would take me shopping. And so then it was really nice because then we were doing it together, you know, and I didn't have to worry about like making the decision to spend money together or not. And then it also really helped my image of how our God loves us, because the husband often reflects the wife's view of God. And Eric loving me like that and showing me generosity and everything just really opened up that even though I don't always get what I want, like, or what I think I need or want in the moment, like, God loves you generously, and it's such an amazing opportunity for the husbands to show that to their wives and their wives to feel just so loved and seen by that. Even though it's kind of silly things and we giggle about it, it's really important and really big.
What I felt, so yeah, the guy at the marriage retreat, he was like, hey, I want to give you a piece of advice. Give your wife a $100 bill every once in a while. Just walk up and say, hey, here's this. This is yours. You know, I was like, I don't know why. I was just like, that's really good. I'm going to do that. And so I started doing that every once in a while. But I can remember one time, we've done this a couple times, but I took her shopping, and it's something in the back
hilarious.
Of my mind. I was like, man, if I take her shopping, she's gonna love me more. Yeah. You know, it's gonna be a good night. That's what that means. And something happened that I didn't expect, and that is that when I took her shopping and pretty much just, you know, didn't buy her whatever she wanted, but it was great. But what I found was that I loved her more. Yeah, amen. Because the Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And taking that time to invest in my wife just produced this love in me for her even more. And I was like, wow, that was really cool. I will also say one other thing about giving. The Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, is when you communicate together about deciding to give in faith the first fruits to God and stand on the promise in the Bible, it gives, not only does it give you individually purpose, but it gives you as a married couple added purpose. When we've gone through ebbs and flows of you know, giving, and man, that's a lot of money, I don't know. And then other times in our life where we're just like in faith, this is a lot of money, but God promises, and we're gonna check this out. We're gonna see if God is real. When we've done that together and stretched our faith together, it's drawn us together in that area of finances and given us purpose. I can remember a couple times, particularly when it was kind of a lot of money, like to just give away, you know. And I'm like, secretly, I'm kind of a cheapskate. A lot of you probably already know that. I guess it's not really a secret. But I can remember giving a few times and going, whew, I don't know about this. But then going to work on Monday with renewed purpose in my heart. Okay, there's a reason I'm here. There's a reason I'm earning money. Part of it was for the furtherance of the kingdom of God through giving. And it just had this, I don't know, God just spoke to me in that way, like, this is part of my purpose for being here. And so I know that, you know, I don't know if that lands anywhere, but I would just say those are some of the ways that God has met us and met me in some of these things. You got something else?
Well, talk about the kingdom of God. It is fun. We enjoy, because that's eternal. This shampoo, stuff like that, we do need it. But it's nothing compared to what you're advancing to heaven, in heaven, what's going to come from that. And one of our goals, and we're past 10% for sure, is to give. We would love to give God 90% of our whatever we get and keep 10%. That is truly a goal. We've talked about almost all of our marriage. And so we're not doing, my dad, bless his heart, he was faithful, and he was, I'm not making fun of him at all, but he was to the penny. I'm tithing to the penny, whatever that was. And God was faithful to him back. So that's okay. But when God puts it in your heart to be generous and just love his work, his body of Christ all over the world, oh my goodness, it's so much fun. And even doing it incognito, you don't have to spread that. You know, there's a lot of times we've given and nobody knows, and we didn't want them to know. But it's so fun together to realize, oh, you know, I don't know, we're at a different spot. We don't have children at home now. And so we get to be more free with what God has given us. But it is a joy to give in the kingdom of God and let see what God does with all that. And he can trust you more and more, you know, with he'll keep giving you more. And we're like, I haven't worked for years. And it's crazy what God's done. If you could hear our stories, it's like, wow, that it only God, but God, only God.
Is there any like questions? Is there any just burning questions in the audience? Yeah, what do you got?
What is your guys' advice when one spouse is thriving for Christ and the other is not? Like, you know what I mean?
In regards to what?
Like when you're not. Well,
in regards.
One's growing and the other one's not, or one's going through something, the other one's not, or kind of the different views from different ages.
Related to, so the question is, what do you do if one spouse is pursuing Christ, following Jesus, growing, and the other one is not? Is this in regards to like finances, or is this just general?
Like general, like a faith question.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I did cover a little bit of that while ago. You only give account to what you do for the Lord. What I do is I'm going to give account. What Cindy does, she's going to give an account to the Lord. And I cannot play the Holy Spirit in her life. I cannot play the Holy Spirit in her life. I can encourage her. I can guide her. I can say words that might help her along the way. But ultimately, it comes down individually. And when you come to that place, it actually is freeing, because it's the Lord that does the work. You're not God. I'm not God. And it's between her and what God is doing in her life as well. So, and of course, praying. Yeah, praying for her and stuff like that. So.
Fasting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's amazing what God will show your mate when you're doing that. You didn't say a word, so you know the Spirit is working. It's beautiful, and it makes you happy because you weren't hounding or nagging and all that stuff. It's like, oh wow, God, you're so, and it makes you love God even more because he answered your prayer. He heard you when you cried and when you prayed.
Well, I take a step further, but a lot of you have children. So what do you do when your children aren't following Jesus and pursuing God? You know, when our precious Hannah, that many of you know, we went through a time where she...
She's given us permission, by the way.
Yes. we're sharing what she said we could. But she wasn't following the Lord. She was following her own ways. And it came to a place where she would say things like this to us. I know what you believe, and I know what you're going to say. And we just quit talking because there was no more. She already knew what we was going to say. She already knew what we believed. And so that's when we just turned her over to the Lord. And God did a wonderful job about that, because she's got a beautiful family, wonderful husband that loves her and walks with the Lord. And so that happens not just with spouses, but it happens with your kids as well. What do you do when they're not pursuing the Lord? And so same thing. You just got to pray and try to encourage them.
Yeah, I love that. I love that testimony. That's a good word, really good word. I'm just going to clarify my question, because there's just been a lot of talk about the finances and things and giving and spending. There's a lot of ground covered, a lot of things to say. Is there anything related to the money topic that anyone has a question on where you're just like, I don't know what you're talking about?
Yeah, clarification.
Yeah, clarification, questions, anything? No? You guys are good? In-laws? Sex? In-laws? Anything? We do have some other questions. So, okay, well, there's no questions. We're going to move on. Yep, we do.
Thank you. You were talked about yesterday caring for parents. We're in that stage.
Yes.
But we also have little ones. And it's
hard. That's real.
It's hard to
Well, that is certainly, I think somebody said a while ago about the in-laws that you've got to come together, first of all, as a couple. You got to be on the same team on that, and then try to do your best to work with those difficult situations. I would say that we, if it all came down to it, we would not sacrifice our kids for our parents. But, you know, every situation is a little bit different. There's healthy reasons. There's some things. We're going through that with my parents. They're 85, and they're having some health issues. We just went through with her parents who passed away with some health issues as well. But we never had to, so far, had to have them live with us or take care of them.
I have something to add to that, because girlfriend, this is an opportunity for you to mirror and teach your children how to care. It's going to come back to you one day. So that's, our families are messed up now. Like, our parents, they're not our mate, and they don't take precedence over our mate. But together, again, as he's talking about, you're communicating and you're assured of each other. We got us, you know, just keep that intact, highest. But at the same time, that's an opportunity to teach your children how to care and love and honor your parents. So make that, and talk them through it and let them be involved in that. Bring them, we're going to show love like God shows us. You know, Jesus did not forget his mother. He took care of her. He handed her off to a brother. It wasn't even his physical brother. It was a brother in the church, in the body. So it's very vital to keep that intact. But again, it comes down to communication. If you're feeling insecure on your side, sir, or your side, talk about that and just really, you can't over-communicate. It's got to be, if you're feeling insecure. And then shore that up. Take some time, maybe a day or two, and just rebond, because that's all that's happening. And remember, we have an enemy. He's trying to divide and trying to tear up your even your mind with your parents, like, oh, I'm not caring for them enough or whatever. Just put it all back into, because you can get weary. It's weary. It's hard day in and day out. When I was away from my husband, I have the best husband in the world. I really do. He is so generous. If he would tell me if I was overstepping or whatever, but he was very communicative during that time, and he came to see me. He took me away for a weekend. as my dad was dying, and my brother came up and stayed for the weekend. It's different for a woman. Is it your parents or your husband's? Both? Okay. So it's different. Women have that usually. Usually they're the more nurturing one. And so you just have to keep that in balance. Sometimes it's the man. But just keep reassuring each other of your relationship first and foremost, after God, of course. But just keep that intact. And this will all fall just right, you know, with our children, with I love our children. I know they already have cared for us. And I know that I'm going to be okay when I'm in that spot, because we got to honor our parents. So.
So I would, yeah, so just a thing that comes to mind is when extra things get added into our lives, especially something as hard as caring for your parents, many times we make decisions on how that's going to happen or what that's going to look like based on how much it's going to cost, or how much time it's going to cost us, how much money it's going to cost us. Well, this is going to be really inconvenient, or perhaps, oh, it'll be more convenient if we move them in with us. Or, you know, again, I don't know the situation, but many times we make decisions based on what it's going to cost us personally, whether that's convenience, time, money, whatever. And I think many times what we do is we make decisions based on those things, and then our marriage suffers because of it. Because, well, it's cheaper to do it this way, so we're going to do it this way. Or, well, it's more convenient to do this way, so we're going to do it this way. When you're making decisions, in your case, caring for your parents, could be any situation. When we're making decisions about those things, I've asked myself this question. I've observed in other people I know, marriages, we've had it happen in our marriage, where I've learned, the Lord has taught me to ask this question: how much money is it worth my marriage falling apart? How much time lost is it worth my marriage falling apart? How much convenience, is it really worth this convenience for my relationship with my wife to suffer? And so I really believe that we need to, if the bottom line is, if we want to have healthy marriages, it's going to cost us something. And so it may cost in making decisions, taking care of your parents, your marriage needs to be the most important thing. Yes, your parents are important, but your marriage needs to be the most important. And in making those decisions, it's probably going to cost you something. And so I don't know if that is, you know, landing, or if the Holy Spirit could use that in some way, but that's just a lesson that I've learned in some of those things. Okay, I'm going to ask one more question here just to wrap up, I think. And it's something that we've talked about pretty much the whole time, is that communication is, you know, there's the big three, money, sex, and in-laws, but communication is like the fourth, I think, that is sort of the key, it would seem, that brings it all together. So what are some barriers to communication? Because we've all said, oh, we need to communicate. Yeah, you got to communicate. Well, what keeps us from doing that, and how can we break those barriers down?
Well, I think that for us, my wife sees things and feels things different than I do, and that I have to try to understand where she's coming from, and she has to understand where I'm coming from. And, she processes things totally different than me. And so we've got to keep that in mind and give her space and time to do all that. So
I'll say, I remind my daughters and my wife of this. Men don't talk in code, but women do, right? I'm not, yes, it is funny, but at the same time, it's true, right? Men don't talk, I don't talk in code. My wife asks me what's wrong. If I say nothing, what are you thinking about? Sex. I want to have sex. Like, most of the time, that's the answer. But I don't talk in code. Most men don't talk in code. But women talk in code. honey, is everything okay? Yeah, it's fine. First off, you wouldn't be asking your wife if everything was okay if you honestly thought everything was okay, right? There's something wrong. And you need to learn your wife, and you need to learn to break the code, right? And that takes time and intimacy, right?
Well, I'm still working on it for 4 years.
Yeah. But, man, you are to pursue your wife and understand her body language, her code, right? And I know that's kind of broad, but there really is women talk in code. Like, they just are different creatures, like Gary was talking about, Gary and Cindy were talking about, and just pressing through that code too. Like, everything's fine. No, it's not. Like, we need to sit down and let's go out to dinner and talk. Like, taking that time. And Eric, you that scripture has been on my heart last night and today. Matthew 6:21 is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. You know, we put so much time and energy and money and resource into hobbies and sports and all kinds of things. And if you're not putting that time and energy and resource into your spouse, wife or husband, to really know them and learn them, like, your heart won't be with them, and you won't be able to read the code, right? And so that's just my advice to husbands, is know your spouse, know your wife, and know how to read them and communicate with them and have sex. Because honestly, like, that breaks, it does. I'm just going to tack it on, because it's true. Like, the Lord has given us that. It breaks down so much. When you can just humble yourself, when you feel like you don't want to communicate, you just humble yourself and serve your spouse in that way. Maybe you both don't feel like it. Maybe that's what you really need to do, is just be together, and then you can be vulnerable. The Lord does something through that spiritually that is unexplainable. It is a mystery. It is a miracle. And so I just encourage you in both of those things.
Yeah, and wives, I mean, yes, we do sometimes, like, talk differently than they do. Yeah. But I think, like, being the wife and being open and honest and exposing your heart, like, sometimes you have to dumb it down for them, and that's okay. Like, they need it. Like, it's not, we're created differently. And sometimes it's like, I really need him to repeat what I've said. So I'm like, okay, he gets it. Like, he understood the words that came out of my mouth. And now we're in a season where I'm helping him decode his daughters, and, like, you know, and they're coming to me, and I'm like, well, how did the conversation with your dad go? And I'm like, okay, well, that's not what he, like, I know your father, that's not what he meant. Like, you're going to need to re-talk to him about this issue and, you know, express your heart to him. Like, you're going to have to tell him all of the things and express your heart in a way that he understands it. Like, trying to teach our daughters to stop talking in code and just be straightforward with him. And communication, like, with kids is hard. And we will tell our kids, like, we are going in the bedroom, like, we have to have a talk. Do not come to the door. And that's started at an early age. And, you know, sometimes they'll, can I have a snack? We're talking. And setting that standard in our home, that our communication with each other is absolutely vital. And I think that our kids really, they're at an age, maybe not Elizabeth so much, she still asks for things, but that they know when our marriage is off. They know when we're fighting, and they know when we come together and got our crap back together. Like, they do. They know that, oh, they had sex and things are better now in the home. Like, they do. Like, and that's healthy. Like, 'cause we're training our children, right, to have healthy marriages. Well, part of that is, okay, when we have bad communication and we finally come together and communicate, our older kids know that Dad's, like, things have been resolved. And, like, prayer and fasting week, one of the kids said, so he's giving up sex and food. he's going to be really grumpy. Why would he do that? But But to be able to explain that communication, like he's seeking the Lord, like he's communicating with the Lord on some issues for our family, and what a better way to remove all of the distractions in life, because, I mean, sex can be a distraction as well, and, you know, we're called to sometimes not have that and seek the Lord on issues, and just being open and honest with your kids in that communication, too.
For a limited time, and then come back together so you're not tempted by Satan.
Agreed upon.
Agreed upon. There you go.
I mean, you guys pretty much just nailed it, but I think just also creating that space to communicate. Sam's really good at just being humbled and knowing that it's not always going to go his way or my way, and just coming at it with humility. And I don't even remember what I was going to say. But like you said, the way he takes things is different than the way I take something. And just coming at it knowing that I am stubborn. But, yeah.
I don't think I'm all that great at this. But I think the thing, I mean, we've all heard if you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say it at all, or don't say anything at all. I don't think that's necessarily true sometimes, in the fact that a lot of times maybe I step back and I'm not saying anything. I'm not going to fake a nice thing to say, and so I'm just not going to say anything because I don't know how to act during this. I'm upset. But instead of even communicating the things I disagree with or the problem that's going on. I mean, when you look at our relationship with Christ, like we're called to bring everything to him, every issue, every, confession. And when we're holding that back in our marriage is the same thing. If there's an issue that needs addressed, that, and we're talking about being one and oneness, staying silent is only bringing isolation. You're separating yourself. That's just the action of separating yourself from the issues. But coming in communication and just facing that, because I just don't want the conflict. So I'm like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to pout or just, you know. But I'm learning that it is so much better to just talk to my wife. This is how I feel. This is how I disagree with what you're doing in a certain situation, but communicating with that, bringing it to the Lord in prayer, but mainly just talking with each other, getting it out in the light, because when it's out in the light, darkness flees. And when it's hidden, it's in the darkness, and it stays, and it's separating us from each other. So that's what I did. I was silent, but now I'm learning, just bring it and communicate. Love your wife, become one, and seek the Lord together for his help.
Amen. Yeah, that's a really good word. Thank you for that, guys. I like what, Romano, I like what you said about just making space. And, like, I'm realizing now that I'm a pastor, I guess, I'm just realizing how simple my life used to be. And Allie and I have found it just really hard just to simply just have time to just, there'll be stuff that I would normally, we would just chat naturally in the evenings or whenever throughout the day, you know, and it will go like a few days now. And I'm like, didn't I tell you that this happened or that happened? And she's like, no, you didn't tell me. And I'm like, yeah, we just haven't really talked, I guess, you know? And so we're working on just like making time. Like we never had to carve out time to just communicate. And now we're having to do that. And so I know some of us just live very busy lifestyles. You might just need to make room, like what Romana said. It's like, hey, we need to communicate. We need to set a time to talk every day, maybe twice a day. Maybe, you know, I don't know. We just need to carve out time to talk. Not when your head hits the pillow because you're like, I just want to go to sleep, you know, or whatever. I don't know. Whatever that time is for you, maybe it is then, but making time to talk. And then for me, as you guys were talking, is just listening. Like, just listening. You know, I read something a while, not that long ago. It said, communication occurs when someone says something or writes something and the other person understands it. And in order to understand something, you have to listen. And that is something that I have a hard time with sometimes. She'll talk to me, say something to me, and then I'll turn and look at her and go, ask her a question. It was exactly what she just said. And she's like, I can't believe you. Really? Because I just stink at listening a lot of times. And or I can't hear. My hearing is pretty bad too. So it's kind of a good excuse. But that's what, make time, listen, talk to each other. Really important, I think, to communicate well, to resolve, you know, and work through a lot of these issues. And communication with the Lord too, you know, primarily. So I think...
Can I add another?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just want to add another, I guess, because when we're talking about communication, and yeah, I went right to kind of the communication of conflicts. But what I'm learning is I can come home from work and Romana is very good at communicating how her day went and what's gone on. All the good and the bad, the fight with her sister she had or the things she's annoyed with her mom about. And I can sit there and be a great listener for all that and just take it in. And then when it's done, not have anything to say myself about my day. And sometimes she's expressed that she needs that, because I mean, she'll ask me about my day, I'm trying to run through the whole day, nothing seemed that important to share, so I'm not gonna share. But
it's like two crickets playing racquetball up there. Like,
so, and then maybe a week down the road something else comes across, like she hears something. She said, why didn't you ever tell me that? I was like, well, I don't know. I didn't think it was very important. But she had to hear it from so-and-so instead of me. So I'm learning to just try to be intentional about communicating that to my wife. If she needs it, communicating what's going on through my day, whether I think it's very important or not. But because it makes her feel loved and close to me, knowing how my day went or whatever, but... Yeah, or whatever, but no.
Well, and I think it's a daily thing. Like for us, when we are like just clicking and rocking in our marriage, like on our date nights, it's not okay. Well, how's your month going? How is this? Like our date nights aren't just the communication anymore. It's like I get to spend time with my best friend, and like the communication just looks different. Like when we weren't communicating on a day to day,
it's not an admin meeting.
Yeah, it's not an admin meeting. It's like, I got to go out with my best friend today. And like, it's I look forward to it so much. And we have so much more like deeper and richer conversations because we're not, okay, so how are the finances? How are the kids? Like, he already knows where the kids' hearts are. He already knows where my heart is. And the conversations when we do get to get away are just so much more deeper.
Yeah, that's good. So I think, I think that's pretty good. That's all the questions we had. I think you guys have done a very good job answering questions. I do want to give a chance, if there's anything, like, I don't think we have time for, like, a general question, but, like, if there's something that maybe just is just a real struggle, I just want to give one more opportunity. If it has something to do with what we talked about, just like, hey, like, can you speak to this specific issue? And you know, if someone has a question like that, we'd love to try to answer it. But, you know, if not, it's okay. But, yeah.
Stop and pray. Like, stop your wife. Tell her, I am having a hard time receiving this. I've recently started a prayer journal, and in there, I wrote, Lord, change me and bless my wife, right? So stop and pray. Like, it's a sometimes it's the hardest thing to do, but it's the number one thing we should do. Stop and pray. Like, I'm having a hard time receiving this right now. Like, let's just pray. Lord, change me. Because when you were created, it is not good for man to be alone, right? He gave you a helper, like somebody that's smarter than you. If we're being honest, like, our wives are smarter than us, right? And so Lord, change me and my heart and bless my wife, right? That's just something that has helped me in that. But also sometimes you just got to die to yourself and your needs and wants and love your wife. Because she's at home with the kid all day. She just wants to communicate with her husband that is burnt out from work and stressed and overwhelmed with life and the burden of providing. But, man, sit in your truck. Been through it. Sit in your truck before you get going the door. Lord, change me. Soften my heart. Let me be a blessing to my wife. Right? That's just...
When you're in the moment, it's too late. Please don't misunderstand. It's never too late to communicate and do what Matt said. You can pray in that moment. You can, you know, even just communicate. Say, I just don't know if this is the right time to talk about this, honey, you know, or whatever. But a lifestyle of prayer and walking with the Holy Spirit and being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I love what Matt said about just sitting in your truck and praying before you walk in the door, or like before a meeting, or before whatever, to know that those times are coming. When we walk out of this room and you go do whatever you're going to do, that's going to happen to some of you. And so we have to be prayed up, full of the Spirit, ready at all times for that offense to enter in so that we know how to respond, and so that we have the strength to walk through that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not that, like I said, I think that is, for me, is what I've found, is that's what I have to do. I have to head it off at the pass before it happens. But in those moments, I think just honest communication can be helpful. There are times when, you know, Jesus came to not to be served, but to serve. And like what Matt was saying, sometimes we have to, in that moment, go, okay, this is my time. I'm offended. I'm ticked off. I cannot believe she just said that to me right now. But my job as a husband is to serve my wife. And the best way to serve her in this time is going to be to stand here and listen and do whatever it takes. And there are times where we need to do that too. So I wouldn't say it's a one size fits all. I don't know, is anyone?
Well, just coming from like a wife's perspective, something that's I've been trying to work on is not have that nagging right when he gets home from work. Like, I know that he's not ready to have those conversations, or I'm just like, here, take the kids. I've had a really rough day. Like, but just like creating that space if there is something bothering me where I'm like, okay, do you think you're ready to talk about this? And if not, then we'll find a time. But just not come at it nagging and yeah. Because a husband doesn't want to come home to a nagging wife. And I want him to come home and hug him and love him, and then he'll want to listen to me. But if I'm constantly nagging at him and saying I've all these negative things, it's going to be hard for him to listen to me. But yeah,
it's hard, right? Being a young couple with young kids is hard. It's just hard. It's a season. It's shorter than you think it is. It doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. It's just hard. Right. And learning to die to yourself for each other is the hardest thing to do. Like when you clock out from work and you go home, guess what? Your wife doesn't get to clock out. Like if you have a stay at home wife with young children, like, she doesn't get to clock out. Right. And so you come home, man, you'd be prepared to serve her. Like, I've worked 21-hour days at Costco during Thanksgiving. And sometimes, usually I come home and my wife is so gracious and so serving. But sometimes I come home and she's like, I'm done. And I have to keep going. You know, it's just like, what do you mean dinner's not ready? And so, but anyway, just like, dude, it's hard. It's just hard. And what Eric said, like, man, you just need to be prayed up always. That's really the answer. But it's hard. And it's a short season and it'll pass. But stick it out and it's hard. Die to each other. Right?
Amen. Amen. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up and just pray these things in. And I also, before we do that, I'd like to add, like, if you guys do have, you know, questions, issues, problems, listen, you're not the only ones. I know we've mentioned that a few times, but it's already been mentioned, get with another brother, sister, another couple, and just talk about it with them. Pray it through with them. Get prayer. And I just want to share a verse here about, it's what Jesus said concerning the Holy Spirit. We've talked about a lot of things. I know there's been a lot of information. And I've said this before at church, but the Christian life is not something that takes a lot of practice. It's not something that is really hard that we learn over time. It's not something that, if you do it long enough, you'll get better at it. Living the Christian life is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit in order to know these things, to implement these things, to follow Jesus, and to glorify Him. And we just need the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 14, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as this world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And Father, as we just conclude today, and Lord, since we just thank you for all the things that we've been able to learn, the time we've had to worship, the time we've had with our spouses, Lord, we take great comfort that you sent a helper for us. You sent the Holy Spirit. You've indwelt us by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, your word here promises that you're going to teach us all things, all the questions that we all have in our minds that we didn't have the courage to raise our hand or whatever. We didn't really have the chance to do a lot of questions, but Lord, thank you that you're going to answer those questions. You're going to teach us all things as we walk with you, as we talk with you, and as we learn from you. And Lord, we thank you that you give us peace, that we don't have to be afraid. You said, don't let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And Lord, we confess that sometimes we're just troubled. Sometimes we're afraid. But Lord, we stand on this promise today that we don't have to be troubled. We don't have to be afraid. We have the Helper, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that you would teach us all things. Lead us into all truth. Bring to remembrance, Lord, in those moments when we need them, the things that you have spoken to us. That's what I need, Lord. I need you to bring those things to my remembrance, and we all do. And Lord, I want to just pray a blessing over each marriage in here. God, would you bless and keep? May your face shine upon each one of us today. And Lord, may we not forget to continually invest in our marriages, not wait till the next marriage retreat, but Lord, that you would be doing a mighty work as we move forward with you. And we pray it all in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So I think we're good. You're dismissed.